code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt, with Cutting Through the Matrix on September the 14th, 2012. For newcomers, as always, and again, it's over at the beginning of the broadcast rather than pester you all the way through. I'd like to remind you that you're the audience are bringing to you. I don't bring on advertisers as guests that scare you, then sell you things. And that gives me more leeway to talk honestly about certain things, too. And also, it's up to you to say if you like the, what you're hearing on this particular broadcast. And lots of other guys copy the stuff that comes out from here and have kind of followed it for a long, long time. So, as I say, if you want to support me, you can help me keep ticking along by buying the books and discs at cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And you can also donate as well. Because most of the things, most donations are really, really welcome at this time because we're going through austerity, you see. And most folk do. Most folk do. Get used to just like the TV, they click you on every night on the radio, and there you are, and they think it's all taken care of by advertising or whatever. I've got no contact whatsoever to the advertisers that you hear advertising in the breaks in this broadcast. So it has nothing to do with me at all. And a great thank RBN for even putting this particular broadcast on. So as I say, if you support me and keep me going, then we'll get more and more information out as time goes on. And these weird times. And there really are incredibly weird times. And remember, too, from the U.S. to Canada, you can still use personal checks or international postal money orders from the post office. You can use PayPal or you can send cash. And across the world, you've got Western Union, MoneyGram, and PayPal once again. And again, straight nations are really, really welcome. But what I do is just tie in information from the past to the present to show you the big boys that run the world, and you can really understand this very basic truth, and it's a truth. Government is, and governance is all about the future, controlling the present and setting up instruments to make sure that the future stays in the same hands of the same tiny dominant minority. That's how big corporations work too. They're always looking into 50 years down the road or more, to make sure that there's where they'll be then, where they'll be, where they want to be, how they'll get there, how the competition will either be amalgamated with them or else they'll knock them out, because that's how business really is. And it's the same with government as well, dominant minorities. And the dominant minority we have today has been here for a long, long time, actually many centuries when you look back through history, starting with the British Empire and then moving on through the world into the global empire. The U.S. is taking over the torch, as they say, and they pay for most of the stuff now. The armies, the military, the taxes come from the people. They supply the bodies that get the over to shoot, probably shot, and all of that kind of stuff. And you have to go into the histories, as I say, of the groups that formed, at least came out in public, at least in the 1800s, then into the 1900s, such as the Milner Group, a group of international bankers that got together. And they amalgamated with the Cecil Rhodes Foundation and Lord Rothschild's Foundation, and they established the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which sounds awfully governmental, but really that they're a private organization with a government charter, a crown charter that's above government in the British Empire system. So you understand, they set up to take over the whole world and manage all the people underneath them as we go through the big, massive changes. That's why you have all these neuroscientists and psychologists getting massive funding to find ways to control the people through their media, because the same boys own all of the media, of the mainstream media. And they really mean business. I read an article today from Australia where one psychologist was getting well over $1 million, $1.5 million, so that he can censor the news, basically. What's real and what's not, but the public should hear. You know, the proper news, the authorized news. Back with more after this break.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Matrix and talking about things as they really are. Understand we're all under management perception, or perception management, as I like to call it. And that means total perception management. That's why you've been trained for many, many years through the regular media, even your weather stations, to bring on experts, tell you what to wear when it's raining, and all that kind of stuff. Because experts rule your lives. And you've been training you just to obey the word expert. Something comes on, they're an expert, you don't question it, and you go along with their point of view. After all, who are you at the bottom, honestly? And of course, Lord Bertrand Russell said this back in the 1940s and 50s, that we shall train the public to simply obey the academia and experts when they're presented to them. We're always being trained. And most folk will take opinions because they're guided to the conclusions. Just like a computer will come to certain conclusions. The programmer knows it, and the guy that designs it knows it too, because if they don't know the program, they know this logic, and they know that it must run a certain logic to come to a certain conclusion. We're just the same. We're fed bits and bytes of information repetitiously. It's constant over and over again, and repetition certainly makes us think. And they always say in advertising that a lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. And that's how we're bombarded all the time with all major points of view that we're supposed to believe in, you see. Now, the ones at the top know different stories. Of course, they know the higher realities of how things really are on every level, everything, in fact, why things are really happening, too. But the job of government is really to find ways to lie to the public about pretty well everything. I hope you understand that. That's his job. It's always been that way, though. I mentioned that Francis Bacon mentioned that too a long time ago to the king. form of a resume. He was trying to get another job. And that's how they did it. It's like Machiavelli. They wrote massive resumes to impress royalty, so they'd be brought on as an advisor. Advisors are very important, even more so today, perhaps. So perception management is a big, big, big science. And, of course, they're bringing all the psychologists, neuroscientists, all these guys on to work with it. And they also put stuff into ads and so on television. Everything that's politically correct, you're getting upgraded to parrot and mimic and believe, you'll go ahead and do it without even thinking. Because everyone else, especially in your own peer group, will go along at the same time with the new opinions and so on. Very simple stuff. And we are trained better than any other animal on the planet. Now, I've mentioned chemtrails often and the history of the chemtrails. I've gone to Teller before, the guy who invented the H-bomb, and how he not only was into chemtrails, he wanted to associate chemtrails not just with weather modification, but also with using electromagnetic frequency waves, and I call it HARP technology, which can interact with these metallic particles in the air that they spray, and alter the weather. And he wanted it for warfare purposes. And I've got a few articles here about some of the things to do with that, because it's so prevalent. Just the last few days, I've watched the skies, which were temporarily blue, temporarily for years, because before that, you get the white mush. And I've read the fact that the guys in geoengineering say, yeah, if they do it, they'll get white mush, and that's what you end up, these whitish skies. But there's a few weeks of blue for there, and bang, I knew something was going to happen. They've altered the stuff, they're putting on heavier than ever before, and they're building up a storm, and it broke today and came that really black clouds as it was spraying away. And there's like a monsoon. You don't get normal rain now, you get monsoons. A lot of rain falls in a few hours, way more than it used to. The weather is completely manipulated, not just in Canada or the States, but across the world. And as they do this, again, perception management comes into play, because they must normalize what you're seeing so that you'll think, oh, well, you know. And they come up with the contrail stuff. Well, that's condensation and all the rest of it. And I love this one that came out in the Telegraph newspaper, the photographs of the week type thing. And you see this mess over London, and they're normalizing chemtrails into contrails now. You see, go back to contrails. Just to get you used to that, so that when someone says chemtrails, immediately, oh, no, they're contrails. And I'll put this link up tonight so you can see the mush over London yourself, which is pretty almost the mush over me. I only have a tiny wee airport to the north of me, and it only gets about 4 or maybe even 3 or even 2 flights per day, mainly from Texas, because they come up to do with the mining in Sudbury, the big boys. Now, I'll put that one up, and also I'll put up one to do with, it's called Stolen Skies. And it's quite interesting. It's written by William Thomas. Now, William Thomas is a kind of greenie type guy, and I think he works for the United Nations Department at one point in the field type thing. But he does good follow-ups to what's happening in the sky. He talks about how the jet trails in the sky used to disappear, but now they linger. In fact, they stay, and they widen, in fact, to merge with other trails that they're laying. And he goes through a story to do what happened, I think, in British Columbia, Canada, to a guy who saw this stuff happening back in the 90s, or year 2000. And he couldn't believe what he was seeing. And that's how it is when it first started. If you were aware or conscious at all before it all started, about 98 or so, you saw it. It was night and day. It was like walking a science fiction movie, walking outside, because it didn't happen like that before. So sudden. But anyway, he complained, this guy who saw it in BC, and he complains to different agencies out there too, and eventually he got it from some answer from the military out in Canada and British Columbia, who told them that they were not doing a military exercise. However, he'd been told already from another organization that there was a military exercise. So the Canadian military negated that and says, no, there's no military exercise, at least not in their records. So who was doing it? someone was doing it, you see. And it was through the story of this guy, as I say, who checked up and checked or tried to find what really was going on. And he was told that, Terry Stewart, the manager of planning and environment, the Victoria International Airport, responded to callers complaining about the strange patterns of circles and grids being woven over the British Columbia capital. Stewart left a message on his answering machine tape, a message that was later heard by more than 50 million individual listeners, and Stewart explained it's a military exercise, you see. He says, and Canadian Air Force exercise is going on. But then he says, if only they called COMOX, which is the Canadian Forces base on Vancouver Island, it says Canada's biggest radar installation, and it's easily capable of tracking the U.S. formations coming up from the south. When asked for a response to Stewart's statement, the base information officer, CFB COMOX, replied tersely that no military operation is taking place. So, by the summer of 2001, pictures of contrails were being circulated by the Associated Press, and the word chemtrails could be overheard in coffee shop conversations across the continent. And of course, then, so the big boys got into action, and U.S. Senator Colonel Walter Washbaugh, chief of the Congressional Inquiry Division for the Sector of Air Force in Washington, D.C., called chemtrails a hoax. I had to do that initially. They always tell you not to believe what you're saying. And he blamed the increased number of contrails on significant civil aviation growth in the past decade. And the author goes on to say he's right on that score. National Science Foundation found that in certain heavily trafficked corridors, artificial cloud cover has increased by as much as 20%. Why would it fall for that so easily? I mean, they're also spraying out of many, many planes. However, it says here that official denials reached new altitudes of over 30 when another colonel claimed the U.S. Air Force does not conduct spraying operations over populated areas. But if it got about all the tankers they sprayed in overpopulated areas in Vietnam, when they spread Agent Orange over the whole darn place. So meanwhile, the internet was abuzz with chemtrail conspiracy theories, yada, yada, yada. So this goes through the history of chemtrails. And then it goes into the Welbach patent. Welbach, or Welsbach, it's called. In 1994, the Hughes Aerospace Company was issued a remarkable patent, the Welsbach patent, for reduction of global warming, proposed countering global warming by dispensing microscopic particles of aluminum oxide and other reflective materials into the upper atmosphere. The sky shield would reflect 1 or 2% of incoming sunlight. The patent suggested that tiny metal flakes could be added to the fuel of jet airliners so that particles could be emitted from the jet engine exhausts while the airliner was at cruising altitude. Computer simulations by Ken Caldera at California's Lawrence and Livermore National Laboratory calculated that employing Welsbach clinical sunscreen technology could stop global warming over 85% of the planet, despite an anticipated doubling of atmospheric carbon within the next 50 years. This is LLNL estimated the cost of creating this so-called sky shield at $1 billion a year, a cheap fix to avoid threatening the massive profits of the oil industry. Now, by the way, I think the University of Alberta put out a study too, I have it here somewhere, where they said it would cost about $5 billion. I guess that's just for Canada. At the 1998 International Seminar on Planetary Emergencies, Edward Teller, the father of the H-bomb, presented his next big idea. Teller called for spreading reflective chemicals over the Earth to act like a mirror shade. If it was impossible to protect the entire planet, these chemical sky shields could at least be extended to cover allies who secretly agreed to allow this unprecedented geoengineering experiment be carried out over their territory. Actually called it the Open Skies Treaty. There's another one just for commercial craft, but there's another one for what they're doing. In the July-August 1998 Science and Technology Review, Teller argued that the sky shield offered a more realistic option for addressing global warming than drastic cutbacks in CO2 emissions. When he was asked if the technology was being pursued, he says, to my knowledge, the answer is negative. In fact, the technology already exists and existed before that. In 1975, the U.S. Navy patented a device for producing a powder contrail having maximum radiation scattering ability. The powder contained a mixture of 0.3 micron size titanium dioxide pigment particles coated with 0.0027 micron hydrophobic colloidal silica. Back with more on this after this break. Very important article.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
About the chemtrails and basically how you're being managed, your minds are being managed, so you don't really think about them. It can't be important after all. The media doesn't mention it, and if famous people don't come out and make a fuss of it, you won't think anything of it. That's what Brzezinski said. He said, don't be able to talk and think about the things that are on the major media the next day. That's what you do. Most folk do. It's for the previous day's news. If it's not in the news, it can't be important. Now, as we was on to say, this is in Canada again. In the spring of 1998, rain falling through heavy chemtrails over Espanola, Ontario. And I remember when that happens, because it doesn't say it in here, but I know there's a lot of sickness in the area. They're coming in low when they're coming over the Great Lakes. And it's a deal the Canadian government had made with the U.S. The U.S. jets were coming up, going low and spraying the stuff. Understand, Canadians really are guinea pigs. We were the first ones to do GM food, but even though we were eating the stuff for 10 years, they kept it secret. That came out in the papers. The government makes a secret deal with Monsanto and kept it from the public for 10 years that we're even eating this stuff. And then they studied our health effects, you see. And they know what worked. It kills us. But anyway, here they were testing on the people on this little town of Espanola. It's not far from me, Ontario. And it was found to contain concentrations of aluminum particles 7 times higher than permitted by Canadian health and safety laws. Provincial health officers ordered tests after residents began complaining about, this is what you get with it, it's more to it than this, severe headaches, chronic joint pain, give you arthritis, a lot of people, also give you cramping in the muscles, dizziness, sudden extreme fatigue, acute asthma attacks, even if you've never had asthma in your lives, and feverless flu-like symptoms. The results of the tests were not released. Now, however, it was more than that because there was also a massive increase in stillbirths amongst people and animals. The people going into the forest were noticing the deer were having stillbirths as well. But so were the people, the women living there too. And it says the report of illness all came from residents inside a 50-square-mile area who complained they'd been subjected to months of spraying by photo-identified, and it's true, I've seen the photographs, U.S. Air Force tanker planes, refueling planes. The USAF denied the intrusions, and the government in Canada shut up. On November the 18th, 1998, Canadian opposition party defense critic Gordon Earl petitioned in Parliament on behalf of the people of Espanola, speaking out on behalf of Canada's new Democratic Party. He says, over 500 residents of the Espanola area have signed a petition raising concerns over possible government involvement in what appears to be aircraft emitting visible aerosols. They found high traces of aluminum and quartz and particulate and rainwater samples. Remember, you're breathing all this stuff in and it gets through the lungs and the bloodstream. These concerns combined with associated respiratory ailments have led these Canadians to take action and seek clear answers from this government. The petitioners call upon Parliament to repeal any law that would permit the dispersal of military chaff, they call it chaff, or any cloud-seeding substances whatsoever by domestic or foreign military aircraft without informed consent of the citizens of Canada thus affected. A Harvard School of Public Health team determined that particulates with a diameter less than 10 microns, which is one-tenth the thickness of a human hair, pose a serious threat to public health. Remember the other one was 0.3 microns, the stuff that we're spraying in the States. On April the 2nd, 2001, the New York Times warned these microscopic motes are able to infiltrate the tiniest compartments in the lungs and pass readily into the bloodstream and have been most strongly tied to illnesses and early death, particularly in people who are already susceptible to respiratory problems. On December the 14th, 2000, the New England Journal of Medicine reported that inhaling particulate matter of a size 10 microns or smaller leads to a 5% increased death rate within 24 hours of the spraying. That's what it means. Taylor's sunscreen calls for spraying 10 million tons of talcum fine reflective particulates of 10 to 100 micron sizes. And then it says the Congress addresses the chemtrails. On October the 2nd, 2001, Representative Dennis Kucinich of Ohio introduced the Space Preservation Act of 2001, which called for the elimination of exotic weaponry from space. Amongst the weapons to be banned were weather modification weapons such as HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, and chemtrails. Though H.R. 3616 was later amended to remove the section that would have banned chemtrails, the original bill acknowledged the existence of chemtrail technology remains on the pages of the Congressional Records. With chemtrails now officially admitted by the U.S. government, an even bigger trial was set to begin in a court of public opinion. And it says chemtrails go global. Sightings of oddly lingering plumes, sometimes resembling rocket trails, are not confined to North America. Well, on leaving Italy in the summer of 1999, the U.S. Navy's Kitty Chastain sat in her hotel balcony and watched aerial grids being laid all day just offshore over the Bay of Naples. All started at the same time, folks. In Spain, on April 27, 2000, the American tourist John Henriks dashed off a quick email from El Café of Internet, where we were surprised to see that the chemtrails are as bad here as they are anywhere, both in Mallorca and Barcelona. Add Sweden to the list. And it says chemtrail activity has been reported at least in 14 allied nations, including Australia, Belgium, Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Holland, Ireland, Italy, New Zealand, Scotland, Sweden, and the United States. And it says another scary scenario. According to the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, the only way to form artificial clouds in warm, dry air is to introduce enough particulates into the atmosphere to attract and accrete all available moisture into visible vapor. If repeated often enough, the resulting rainlessness haze can lead to drought. Drought, folks. Back with more after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Heading into the Matrix and talking about chemtrails, because it's so prevalent, it's so disgusting to be sprayed like bugs every darn day and watch people getting sick, awfully sick. And I'll also put these links up tonight, remember, cuttingthroughthematrix.com when I upload. Now, also, another video I'll put up too is written a classic, it's really good, where there's a town ship in the States having a talk about chemtrails and the fact that so many of them are sick with barium, aluminum oxide, and strontium, and various other things. And it's interesting to really watch it, because first they bring on the school teacher, young one too. She probably just looked up, Wikipedia or something to get the new rubbish about it. And she gives you this, oh, you have trace elements in most of these things in her body. She had, yeah, you can get it from glass making and working in the oil industry. Well, this guy came out afterwards, who was really sick with it, and says, I've had enough of this old school talk here. And he says, he just got his report back from his blood test, and he's full of all these things, aluminum oxide, barium, strontium, and so on. And he says, and so are most of the folk in this town. He says, they're all sick, he says. And here he goes to town and starts talking about the chemtrails. He says, haven't you looked above your heads? It's what's coming down on you, etc., etc. Excellent little talk he gives. So I'll put this up tonight too and go through it. Just hang on for the teacher with a little, you know, talking to four-year-olds explanation, which is all she'll probably know, and not much at that. And he goes into the real higher stuff, and it's excellent. Very, very good. Also tonight too, I'll put up, I want to do this one here. It's an interesting one. the American conservative, I don't care who puts out things, left-wing, right-wing, whatever they happen to be or pretend they are, it doesn't matter, but it's a good little article. It says, one can say without exaggeration that inflation is an indispensable means of militarism, said Ludwig von Mises. It says, without it, the repercussions of war and welfare become obvious much more quickly and penetratingly. War weariness would set in much earlier. This explains why American politicians have always resorted to the legalized counterfeiting of central banking to finance wars, the most expensive of all government programs. If citizens had a clear picture of the true cost, they'd be more inclined to oppose non-defensive intervention and to force all wars to hastier conclusions. Government can finance war and everything else by only three methods, which is taxes, debts, and the printing of money. Taxes are the most visible and painful, followed by debt finance, which crowds out private borrowing, drives up interest rates, and imposes a double burden of principal and interest, plus the public to pay up all the debts. Money creation, on the other hand, makes war seem costless to the average citizen, but of course there's no such thing as a free lunch. As a general rule, the longer a war lasts, the more centrally planned and government-controlled the entire economy becomes. Remember what Quigley said, not said, you get more done in 5 years of war from a government perspective by taking over and intruding into all the lives of the citizenry and farming and everything, all business, than you can in 50 years of peace and propaganda. It says here, it remains so to a degree after the war has ended. War is the health of the state, as Randolph Byrne famously declared, and the growth of the state means a decline in liberty and prosperity for the people who have to pay up the debts, not for the ones who cause it at the top. As Robert Higgs wrote in Crisis and Leviathan, amongst the effects of World War I were massive government collusion with organized special interest groups. The de facto nationalization of the ocean shipping and railroad industries increased federal intrusion in labor markets, capital markets, communications and agriculture, and enduring changes in constitutional doctrines regarding conscription and governmental suppression of free speech. Inflationary war finance inevitably leads to calls for price controls, which inflict even greater damage on the private enterprise system by generating shortages of goods and services, which are falsely blamed on capitalism. The state uses this excuse to grant itself even greater central planning powers. You see that's all happening now with Homeland Security, oil, food supply and everything else. Inflating the currency as a method of war finance is often the first step in the adoption of what is essentially economic fascism. It doesn't matter if you call it fascism, communism, I don't really care, it's all the same thing to me. Paper and printing, by the same people, paper and printing were invented in China, but most American politicians were the first to use government paper money. It was adopted by the colonial government of Massachusetts in 1690. As Murray N. Rothbard wrote, the Massachusetts government was accustomed to launching plunder expeditions against the prosperous French colony in Quebec. The loot was typically used to pay mercenary soldiers, but when one of the expeditions failed and the soldiers threatened mutiny, the Massachusetts government printed 7,000 British pounds in paper notes to pay them, to pay the troops. The government promised to redeem the paper money in gold or silver, but it took 40 years to do so. Meanwhile, the public was so suspicious of the notes that they depreciated by 40% in the first year. By 1740, every colony except for Virginia had followed Massachusetts' lead in issuing fiat paper money. The results were dramatic inflation, boom and bust cycles, and depreciated currency. During the Revolution, a form of centralized banking was adopted when the Continental Congress issued the Continental in 1775. Because it was not backed by anything of value, the Continental depreciated so severely it was virtually worthless by 1781. Not worth a Continental became a popular slang term. Some of the states attempted to deal with inflation caused by the massive printing of Continentals with price control laws. The predictive effect was shortages, and it was so severe that George Washington's army almost starved in a field in Pennsylvania. The situation became so desperate that the Continental Congress issued a resolution on June 4, 1778, urging all the states to abolish their price control laws. Whereas it hath been found by experience that limitations upon the prices of commodities are not only ineffectual for the proposed purpose, but likewise productive of very evil consequences, resolved that it would recommend it to the several states to repeal or suspend all laws limiting, regulating, or restraining the price of any article. Within 3 months, the army was fairly well provided for as a direct result of this change in policy, writes Robert Schuttinger and Eamon Butler, in 40 centuries of wage and price controls, how not to fight inflation. That's Despite the economic calamities caused by America's first foray into centralized control of the money supply, at the end of the Revolutionary War, the nation's first central bank, which was the Bank of North America, was created with defense contractor Congressman Robert Morris implanted as its president. Centralized banking might have been ruinous for the general public, but political insiders like Morris profited handsomely. The bank was given a monopoly license to issue paper currency, and it used most of its newly created money for loans to the central government. In so doing, it inflated its currency so rapidly that within 1 year, the market lost all confidence in the bank, and it was privatized. Alexander Hamilton was a real founding father of central banking. As the Federal Reserve Board declared in one of its publications, his Bank of the United States, which is called BUS, bus, because they bust the cash away from you, established in 1791 after a momentous debate between Hamilton and Jefferson over its constitutionality, was partly intended to finance sudden emergencies like war, in Hamilton's own words. He rejected Washington and Jefferson's foreign policy of commercial relations with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Instead, he advocated a permanent military establishment complete with a large navy and standing army that would pursue imperial glory, as we called it, Hamilton. As historian Clinton Rossiter explains, Hamilton's overriding purpose was to build the foundations of a new empire. The War Hawks, they talk a lot about that. Hamilton praised public debates, or debts, I should say, as a blessing, and complained to George Washington, he said, "We need a government of more energy." Jefferson, on the other hand, opposed both a large public debt and a national bank, arguing, "The perpetuation of debt has drenched the earth with blood." It's still going on, of course. A reference to the European monarchs' endless wars of conquest funded by public debts, and that's so true. Still going on today. It's the same bunch actually running it. Hamilton's Bank of the United States ran up 72% inflation in its first 5 years and created such economic instability that its 20-year charter was not renewed by Congress in 1811. Then came the senseless war of 1812. There was no central bank, but the federal government still devised a way to monetize the war debt, encouraged the creation of dozens of private banks, then in 1814 declared a suspension of specie payment. That is, banks were not required to redeem their paper currency in gold or silver. Thus, under the direction of the U.S. Congress, banks were allowed to inflate their currencies at will for 2.5 years as a means of monetizing the war debt, thereby disguising the cost of the conflict to the public. Inflation during the war years averaged about 35%. This was exacerbated when the BUS, the bank, was resurrected in January 1817 and empowered to create a national paper currency, purchase public debt, and receive deposits of U.S. Treasury funds. Rothbard explained the politics and his histories of money and banking in the United States. And he says the Second Bank of the U.S. was pushed through Congress, particularly by Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Jay Dallas, who was a wealthy Philadelphia lawyer and close friend counsel and financial associate of Philadelphia merchant banker Stephen Girard, reputedly one of the two wealthiest men in the country. Girard was the largest stockholder of the First Bank of the U.S., and during the War of 1812, Girard became a very heavy investor in the war debt of the federal government. As a way to unload his public debt, Girard began to agitate for a new Bank of the United States. The Second Bank of the U.S. launched a spectacular inflation of money and credit, writes Rothbard, coupled with a great deal of fraud. The problem created the panic of 1819, the first real depression in American history. For the first time, there was large-scale unemployment in cities such as Philadelphia, where employment in the manufacturing of handicrafts fell from 9,700 persons in 1815 to only 2,100 in 1819. After nearly 20 years of inflation, fraud, political corruption, and boom and bust cycles caused by the Second Bank of the U.S., President Andrew Jackson vetoed the bill to recharter the bank in 1834, and it went out of business. But the Hamiltonian nationalists did not. They would wage a political crusade for the next 2 decades, 20 years, crusades, as a member of the Whig and Republican parties to inflict central banking on the nation once again. They finally succeeded during the Lincoln administration with the Legal Tender Act of 1862, which empowered the Secretary of the Treasury to issue paper greenbacks that were not redeemable in gold or silver. The National Currency Acts of 1863 and 1864 created a system of nationally chartered banks that could issue banknotes and supply to them by the new comptroller of the currency. The Act also placed a 10% tax on competing state banknotes to drive them out of business and establish a federal monetary policy. The predictable effect was massive inflation, with the greenback dollars so devalued that within 1 year they were worth only 35 cents in gold. All of the negative economic effects of inflation, devaluation of private wealth, unfair redistribution of the income from creditors to debtors, and hindrance to rational economic calculation damaged the Northern war effort, but not as much as that of the South. The North funded most of the war with public borrowing. The South funded most of its wartime expenditures by printing Confederate dollars. Consequently, inflation in the Confederacy averaged more than 2,200% per year. Nationalization of the money supply created an engine of inflation and a powerful lobbying force to advocate that it keep running. Northern manufacturers realized that during periods of inflation, domestic currency tends to depreciate faster than prices are rising. A falling dollar makes domestic goods cheaper and the price of imports higher. Henceforth, it became a powerful political force in favor of an even further centralization of banking. Meanwhile, the heavily indebted railroads realized that inflation cheapened their debts, so they allied with manufacturers as a permanent lobby for inflation. And that's true in the railroads too, mind you, in Canada, the States, and elsewhere across the world, in the old empire, because it is an empire. I don't care if people think they're sovereign or not, it's been one empire. The big moguls, Robert Burns, got all the land for the railroads for free, sometimes for miles down our side of the tracks as well. Plus, we paid for all this first public-private partnership. They ended up owning it all. Not a bad deal, was they? These special interests joined the political coalition that created the Federal Reserve Board in 1913, which became an important source of finance for America's disastrous participation in World War I 4 years later. Well, World War I was all planned, obviously. And, in fact, Mandel House was in contact with Ed Grey. It was actually Lord Grey from Britain, who was a member of the Milner Group, who became the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And that was his contact, and they planned it themselves to get a central banking in and to get the wars going against Germany and so on, other countries. And then they brought the Warburg guys over. One of them came over. He was only in the country about 2 years from Germany, and he was head of this brand new Federal Reserve. And his brother was the head of the banking for Germany. At the end of World War One, the two of them got together and discussed the debts all the countries owned. It's amazing. It's just in your face, isn't it? The Fed did not just print greenbacks, as was the case during the Civil War. They printed enough money to purchase more than $4 billion in government bonds that were used to finance the war. The amount of money in circulation doubled between 1914 and 1920, as did prices. This was enormous, hidden war tax on American people. Wealth was cut in half along with real wages, and just about everything consumers purchased became more expensive. The boom created by the Fed's war financing eventually caused a bust, the Depression of 1920, the first year of which was even worse than the first year of the Great Depression of the 1930s. Gross domestic product declined by 24% from 1920 to 1921, while the number of unemployed Americans more than doubled from 2.1 million to 4.9 million. The Great Depression of 1920 only lasted 1 year, however, thanks to President Warren Harding's inspired policy of cutting both government spending and taxes dramatically. In the wars that followed, central bank financing has inflicted essentially the same kind of damage on American society. Inflation, economic chaos, reduced real wages, price controls, and other government interventions, and ideological attacks on capitalism rather than the real culprit, which is the Fed. Adam Smith recognized the advantage of financing wars with taxes rather than public debt when he wrote, "Wars would in general be more speedily concluded and less wantonly undertaken. The people feeling during the continuance of the war the complete burden of it, the cost of it, would soon grow weary of it, and the government, in order to humor them, would not be under the necessity of carrying it on longer than it was necessary to do so. Central bank inflation renders the cost of war even more invisible than debt financing does, and is therefore even more disastrous for the American people." So that's how it's run, folks. You're run by crooks, you see. But money is run by crooks. It's always been run by crooks. Definitely the central banking system, for sure. And you understand that the central banking system was designed, as I say, by the Royal Institute for International Affairs and on behalf of the guys who already run the Bank of England and a few other central banks already across Europe. And now there's an article in the paper today about Barroso II is talking about the amalgamation combination of all the private banking systems into one massive bank under the Bank for International Settlements, which is right out of the agenda of Carol Quigley, who was a historian for the Council on Foreign Relations, which is just the American branch of the Royal Institute for International Affairs. So we're really living a script, you understand, a big plan script. People really think they're free too. They keep thinking, talking about this plan of this thing called democracy. They've never had democracy. Never had it. No. You only have like a democracy when you have a common culture. Even the Club of Rome that works for the United Nations and these big bankers, they'll plan a lot of this system. Said there's too many competing factions, so people who want to change genders, not what's special, right? Everybody's conflicting. Thousands of groups would all fight each other. Understand that? It's already happening. Back with more after this break.
Hey, meat eaters! The freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org. RNA drops.
About the system we live in, most folk believe it's all real because it was already there when they were born, and they never questioned it. Then most people in their peer group never questioned it either. This article came out, and a little part of the article takes another article from the Jerusalem Post, and it says, in an apparent reference to the public spat between the U.S. and Israel, former Israeli Defense Force Chief of Staff Gabi Ashkenazi told the Calculist on conference on Tuesday that preserving strong ties with the U.S. is an Israeli security necessity. He says we must preserve ties with the U.S. I believe this is a security necessity. And in the past 3 years, he said, U.S. taxpayers have contributed more to the Israeli defense budget than Israeli taxpayers. Since 2009, amounts to more than $11 billion. That's not including all the weapons they sent over recently, all the missiles and so on. Explaining why money needs to be stolen from U.S. taxpayers and given to the only nuclear state in the Middle East, despite the fact that Israeli leaders were directly sometimes against U.S. interests, especially when they tried to pressure them to launch discretionary wars. It's getting harder even for hawks to do in the U.S. So I'll put this link up tonight as well, because we're living in quite some times indeed, and it's really in your face now. It's all really in your face. Also, a great article too, and it's called Unprecedented, the Economic Union, this new Soviet of the whole of Europe. The officials call on fellow countries, all the countries, to give up complete control of their banks. It says European officials are asking national governments to give up control of their banks as a means of solving the EU's financial crisis that their central banking system got them into. It's meant to get them into it so that they can give up all the other banks and only have the big central banks running the show with the whole of Europe. And it says in a proposal that represents one of the most significant surrenders of national sovereignty since the creation of the euro in 1999. That's the money system. The euro cash system. The European Commission, the EU's executive arm, proposed Wednesday to make the European Central Bank the single supervisor for all 6,000 banks in the 17 countries that use the currency. Now, that was exactly what Quigley talked about in the 60s, since he was the historian for the Bunch, the CFR, Royal Institute for International Affairs, that had been running the world for well over 100 years. And he said in it that eventually they'll bring in a one banking system, which they'll own themselves, because it's the money boys who own the Royal Institute for International Affairs. They set it up. And he also said that they'll be under the supervision of the Bank for International Settlements, BIS. All of this is in this article. The history of it, by the way, is in this article, quite a lot of the history. Well worth watching, going through, and it's quite fascinating. Lots of links and so on. And you'll hear all the different characters in Brussels talking about world government and all the rest of it, of super world currency, yada yada. We're dead on target with everything that was planned and quickly talked about that a long time ago, the Anglo-American establishment, etc. That's what they call it in one of his books. You got to read that to understand what's happening today, because we're living a script, a long-term business plan. That's what it is. Another side of it, too, was to alter drastically all cultures, destroy the family unit, that have no opposition, don't even stand up for anybody anymore, and destroy the cultures totally under the guise of multiculturalism, which is no culture at all. It's already happened, folks. It's already happened. And most folk have adapted into it without thinking. That's how it is. So, from Hamish and myself, we're heavily, heavily sprayed by chemtrail sky in Ontario, Canada. It's good night to me, your God. Oh, your God.